Matthew chapter 5. We'll be especially looking at verse 13 this morning. God is so good. You know, Bible college, I used to sing in a quartet. And I was the main, what would they call it, the melody line. Because I didn't know how to sing parts, and the other guys did. But there was a song we used to sing without music called Ain't God Good. It may not be good grammar, but ain't is a word now in the dictionary. But it would go, ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. For 40 long years, God's children journeyed in the wilderness, searching for Canaan, that blessed promised land. They never got too hungry, no, they never got too thirsty. But the more that God kept blessing them, the more they would complain. But ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him, little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. In these days in which we live, so many are unthankful, and many more have failed to see that God has given all. Never having time for God, they're all too busy working. Pay for homes, new cars, TVs, and carpet wall to wall. But ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him, little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. And God is so good.
Amen.
Right now we are loved with a perfect infinite and unconditional love, in the fact that there is nothing we could do to call for His love. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were sinners, yet sinners, filthy, rebellious, ungodly, God-hating sinners, Christ died for us. And so the precious Lord Jesus died for our sins and He redeemed us. And why did He redeem us? But to make us not only children of heaven, not only to make us His children, but a special kind of children. He redeemed us that we might be His purified people. The Bible says a special, particular people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, zealous of doing good. The Lord Jesus does not want us to be He doesn't want any of His people to be monks in seclusion or hermits out in a cave becoming aesthetic and trying to think deeper thoughts. You can't get any deeper than the cross. At Calvary, when Jesus died for us, that shows the holiness of God more than Mount Sinai ever could. In that when Jesus took our sins, the Father crushed it. The Father judged Him in our place. The Father put Him through hell, the hell that we deserved. And so you want to see the holiness of God, look at Calvary. If you want to see the love of God, look at Calvary, Jesus hanging on the cross. If you want to see the grace of God, the mercy of God, the wisdom of God, all the great wisdom of God, how God could be just and holy and open His arms to receive sinners to Himself. He could be holy and just, perfect and righteous, and yet make a way to where He could say, come and welcome. Come, all you sinners, come and welcome to Jesus Christ, and I will forgive all your sins and receive you as my own children. If you want to see the deep things of God, look at the cross, look at the gospel. The Lord Jesus does not want us to be monks in seclusion, separate from the world, but He wants us to be the salt of the earth in our society, in our sphere of influence. He wants us to be the salt of the earth in our culture. He wants us to be the salt of the earth wherever we go. Remember Daniel in Babylon and Joseph in Egypt. How that these young men, you know, full of testosterone, young men, basically hormones with arms and legs, away from their parents, away from their families, out in these wicked lands of idolatry and all kinds of lasciviousness and sexual immorality, how they never bowed to conform with the wicked world they were in. Daniel was in Babylon. Remember how he refused to even eat the king's food, and how God blessed him and blessed him with a wisdom 10 times greater than all the wisest men in Babylon. You know, there's a saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. No, when in Rome, do as Jesus would do. When in Babylon, do as Daniel would do. When in Egypt, do as Joseph would do. Do as Jesus would do. And neither one of those young men gave in to the culture and the wickedness around them, but they were the salt of the earth. The Lord Jesus spoke of salt to describe the relationship of a godly and gracious Christian in the world. And so we're supposed to be like salt. And one of my favorite things is looking at analogies and what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. And he says, I want you to learn through this about salt. And that, therefore, what your responsibilities are, your virtues are supposed to be, how you're supposed to behave. Christians are supposed to be like salt. Smith's Bible Dictionary says, salt symbolized hospitality, because when you invited someone to your home for a meal, you used salt on bread to procure a covenant of salt. And that meant that you would be friends forever, that you would always be there when they needed you, and they would be there for you when they were needed. Salt symbolized hospitality. It symbolized durability. It symbolized faithfulness and purity. Because of this, and because of salt's antiseptic qualities, still quoting Smith's Bible Dictionary, because of this and because of salt's antiseptic qualities, God commanded salt to be used in all the Old Testament sacrifices. And if you've read the Old Testament, maybe you missed that part, but all the sacrifices were salted with salt, which represented Christ's holiness. It represented his purity, his righteousness, his cleansing properties, his incorruptibleness. And so all the sacrifices were salt. And so as we look at this, I'll continue to quote him. Large quantities of salt were stored in the temple. Salt in the New Testament symbolizes a holy, gracious, and wise Christian in their behavior and conversation. So first of all, I want to bring out these things about salt. And what do we use salt mostly for? To put flavor in our food, correct? So first of all, salt seasons and flavors our food. What is possibly the oldest book of the Bible, a bunch of speeches compiled by Moses about a man named Job. Job asked this question: can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? So salt flavors food. So godly and gracious Christians have blessed the world with a wonderful flavor. We've looked at the ugliness of the world, the tastelessness of the world, and we bring a wonderful flavor. The best holidays in the world are Christian holidays. The best music in the world is praises to God. I mean, you listen to Johann Sebastian Bach and Johann Christian Bach, and you listen to Haydn and Handel's Messiah, and you realize the greatest, most inspirational, and the music goes right along with your heartbeat. It's syncopation, it's soothing to the soul. And when you listen to it, all nature seems to be in a dance with it. And the birds and everything else seems to be in harmony with it. It's Christian music. It was written for the praises of God. The most enlightening literature and the most gracious influences on the languages of the world has been because of Christianity. The greatest sculptures on earth are Christian and are devoted in praise to God. Michelangelo's sculptures. A couple weeks ago, the church fire in Notre Dame Cathedral, they say it'll take how many years before they can fix it again? But some of the most beautiful architecture was built in praise to God. And so, not all the people were truly born again believers. That's for sure, being a Catholic church. But in their own way, thinking that they were praising God, thinking they were serving God, thinking they were working for God, They built some of the most wonderful architecture in the world. The greatest paintings have been because of Christians and Christ. The greatest, you remember Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper and so many other paintings and architecture. Without Christians, the Western world would still be illiterate savages. It would still be like Hopi Indians praying to our little dolls that we made and making sand paintings and worshiping water and worshiping trees and worshiping birds and bugs, running around with loincloths on. Stinky little savages. But for the influence of Christians bringing the gospel through the world. I remember seeing the pictures of the old paintings of what the Romans saw when they went to Britannia, we call it Great Britain now, how the people in Scotland were running around half naked with tattoos, weird tattoos all over their bodies, and how Christianity conquered Scotland. And so we would have none of the great inventions and technologies we enjoy today. Most of the world would be enslaved. Who was it that invented antiseptic surgery? It was a Christian. Who was it that invented computer technology? His name was Babbage. They used to have computer stores named Babbage after him. It was a Christian. You start naming all the great... Who was it that started hospitals? It was Christians. That's why most of them have Christian names. And so the atheists have never started a charity. The atheists have never opened hospitals. But Jesus teaches a parable on the Good Samaritan, and all of a sudden, here comes the hospital movement. Jesus about taking care of the poor, then the charity start. Salvation Army and is one of the best ones. We would not have these great inventions, not this beautiful music. Did you know before Christianity started and Christian composers started writing music, that the way you knew Hebrew music was, it was always in a minor key. They said, we write in a minor key for the great king hasn't come yet. When he comes, we'll write in the major keys. And so Christians use the major keys for the most part in all our music. Salt, seasons, and flavors are food, and nothing has had the great influence on the world like Christ and Christianity. Salt is an antiseptic. It is antibacterial, and it is used to sterilize and purify. Surgeons, I was a chaplain in the hospital, and Oregon for 7 years, and one of the things that I would do before I would walk to an emergency or start to pray for people was I would scrub like the doctors scrub. They use a solution called betadine. It's basically salt. It looks kind of like blood, and as you wash it, it's yellow, and you get it all scrubbed up, but it's basically salt. And because it's antiseptic qualities, they use it on your body before they operate on you to kill germs. Doctors use salt derivatives in cleaning newborn babies. When the baby is born, they use salt derivatives to wash the little baby. Salt is used to kill bacteria in sore throats and nasal passages. That's why we get the little, what do they call them, nodies or whatever like that, that you get the water up one nostril and down the other, and there's a saline solution in there. Because it kills infections or bacteria that's up there. Its antiseptic qualities may sting an open wound. If you have an open wound and you go on the ocean, that salt starts to sting, but it also helps to heal it quickly. It is also interesting to know that without the iodine we get from salt, we would die. We have to have the iodine from salt, or we would die. So without the children of God in this world, wickedness would prevail, and the wrath of God would destroy this evil world. The only thing that's keeping God from sending this world straight to hell is he has a people here on earth. If he has a people here, and because we are the salt of the earth, we are like an antiseptic, we are like a cleaner, we are like a healer. And because imagine what the TV would be like without Christians' influence. It'd just be such a rapid nudity. people getting literally murdered. They'd be showing all this stuff on TV, the ugliness, the vileness of a society and a culture without the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how terrible it would be to walk down the streets, not being able to trust any police officers, not being able to trust anybody, because there would be no Christianity here. Without the children of God, this world would be so wicked, evil would be so prevalent, that the wrath of God would be called upon to destroy this evil world. So first of all, salt flavors our food. Second, salt is an antiseptic. Thirdly, salt preserves from corruption. We use salt to cure ham. Or when we have to preserve meat, it's packed in salt a lot of times, at least in the old days before refrigeration came into being. Elisha poured salt in the poison and bitter waters to make them clean and sweet. We use salt in that way too, to soften our water so that our soap gets nice and lathery and so on, to soften water. But salt preserves from corruption. Two elements in salt are sodium and chloride. We use the chlorine to kill off the bad things and bacteria in a pool. How much more wicked would TV or government, our own government, be without Christian influences? So we preserve from corruption. And then salt is used to soften, to sweeten, and to freshen. You know, that's why the sea is so important, because all the water that's on earth now has always been here. All this water that's on earth now has always been here. And the salt in the sea cleanses the waters, sweetens the waters, refreshes, revitalizes the waters, and they evaporate and turn into the clouds that drop the fresh water upon us. So salt is used to soften, to sweeten, to freshen. And so Christians that walk with Jesus have a softening influence on the manners of others. We sweeten the world with our love, our gratitude, our joyfulness, with our loving our neighbors, ourselves. They are praying for our enemies by overcoming evil with good. We refresh the world with the gospel that says, there's always hope in God, no matter what you've done, how far you strayed, how wicked your heart may be, if you'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He will forgive all your sins and make you his child, give you his Holy Spirit that he may work within you that which is well-pleasing to God. Every day is a new life because of his grace. Salt creates thirst. That's another thing salt does. You ever eat a bag of potato chips and you need to wash it down with a Diet Coke or some water or something? Salt creates thirst. So when we're a godly Christian, when we're walking with Jesus, we make other people thirsty for what we know, for how we live. You ever see a godly Christian and they're praising the Lord, they're loving the Lord, they're contagious. They build up your faith, they encourage you in the Lord, they point to the promises of God. They have a peace that passes understanding that the world doesn't have. They have a joy that the world doesn't understand. They are creating thirst in others, like salt does. And salt attracts the beasts of the field. Where I was saved in North Carolina, I was at my Uncle Johnny and Aunt Jeannie's house, and we would go out and work on, we called it the North 40, go out and plow and plant all kinds of okra and tomato and green beans and corn on the cob and all kinds of stuff. My Uncle Johnny had a tractor. It was a lot of work. And there are a lot of snakes in North Carolina, a lot of poisonous ones as well. But there was one day I saw like this big white cube in the field off to the side. I said, Uncle John, what is that? He said, that's what we call a salt lick. He said, mainly they use it for cows because the cows, they need it in their body. They need to have the salt, he says. But he said, I put it out there for deer because when winter comes, I want the deer on my property so I can shoot one and we can put it in the freezer. And so, yeah, so it would attract deer, it would attract even the wolves and coyotes, other little creatures would come to get some of that salt. Because even little insects need a certain amount of salt from certain places. So salt attracts the beasts of the field. And so a gracious Christian, a Christian who walks with Jesus, attracts sinners by being salty, letting our light shine, by our love, our joy, our peace, our devotion to Christ. Are you like salt? Are you adding a savor of life around you? Are you antiseptic? Are you as an antiseptic or preservative against the corruption of sin all around us? Do you soften, sweeten, and refresh the lives of others? Do you make others thirsty for the joy, peace, assurance of heaven and love that you have from God? Do sinners feel like they can come to you for help? The beasts of the field, are they attracted to you? There's a salt cathedral in Portland. I don't know if you ever watched the History Channel or anything, but they had a series on salt. And in Poland, there's a great salt mine that it goes on for miles in its tunnels. It's just basically solid salt. And they built a cathedral in the midst of this salt mine so that the workers wouldn't have to leave. They could stay there. They could worship. They had a pastor and everything. The pulpit made out of salt. The chandeliers with all their beautiful crystals in there are made out of salt. The pews that the people sat on, made out of salt. All of it, solid pieces of salt. And then the real pure crystal pieces of salt, they were used for the chandeliers. And they noticed something, that the workers, while they were there, didn't get sick. They didn't have breathing problems like in the coal mines or the other kinds of mines. And so what they did was they had the idea that they would start inviting people with asthma, people with angina, people with other kinds of maladies and illnesses. Come on into the salt mine. And so they would come in there, some of them in wheelchairs, others laying on cots. They would stay there as long as they needed to, 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Family would come and visit them and bring them food. But a lot of those people were being healed just by the purity in the air in that salt mine. The Nazi Germans, they used salt caves to store the treasures that they stole from other countries, to steal from the cities, like in France. They used salt mines to preserve the paintings from the Louvre and other great paintings and masterpieces. Do you know, some of those salt mines were covered up. People are still looking for them today. And inside they'll find gold and silver and paintings and great works of art. And there's a lot of them. I think half of them that they had are still undiscovered. Salt caves during World War II were amazing at preserving all those paintings and treasures. Secondly and lastly, before we apply the message even more, the importance of salt. I said earlier, all animal life depends on salt in one form or another. We must all have some form of salt or we would die. And so the world would be a valley of death without the salt of the earth. Without the salt of God's people, this world would be a valley of sorrows. There wouldn't be this thing called praise and all this glorious celebration of Him who created all things out of nothing and gave His only begotten Son. There would be no civil rights. There would be no human dignity. There would be no education for the common man, for it was a man named Johann Comenius who started educating children and teaching them to read so that they might read the Bible. And that's where the schools come from. And boy, are they far away from God now. There would be no charities. There would be no true science. For every major field of true science was invented by someone who believed in God. And most of them belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. The electricity we're using wasn't so much Edison as it was Michael Faraday, the great electrician, the great harnesser of electricity. There would be no telephones, no radios, no use of electricity, no computers without the Christian influence. In the 1950s, the United States mined 30 million pounds of salt every year. Now we mine 72 tons of salt every year. 72 tons of salt. Salt has an extremely valuable quality to it. And that You know, our word salary comes from the word salt. The Roman soldiers and people, but especially Roman soldiers are well known for this. What were they paid? They were paid in salt. And that's where we get our word salary. For thousands of years, salt was used to bind friendships because it was precious. In ancient history, total wars were fought over salt and property where salt was found. You can look it up in your encyclopedia, the Salt Wars. The application then is this. God looks at us and he says, be the salt of the earth. The life of your country, the life of your family depends upon it. Be extremely useful. Be that antiseptic. Be that preservative. And be valuable. You're valuable to me. You're my child forever and ever. And realize your importance doesn't come from how much money you have or what family you were born into, what color you are, or how talented you are. Remember, your valuableness is estimated in that my son died for you and that you belong to me. You're more precious than you realize. And lastly, we come to the application. And so the application is the Lord Jesus has commanded you and me to be as the salt of the earth. He warned us in this passage that if our salt loses its savor, it is good for nothing but to be walked on in the streets. You say, salt can lose its flavor? Yes. How does salt lose its flavor? Too much exposure to impure and defiling elements around it. That's why when they, in the wintertime in cities like Chicago, when it snows real bad, they get out the salt trucks and they go salting the roads to melt the ice. But the purer the salt is, the faster it melts the ice. But because a lot of that salt has lost its savor by being exposed to other elements like the dirt and the mud and the rocks and the gravel that it's mixed up with, it literally almost has no taste to it. Too much exposure to impure and defiling elements around it will cause the salt to lose its savor. So God tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's where all temptation comes from. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Those three areas. And so, don't be too exposed to all the pollution in the world. Don't be worldly. Be heavenly. Secondly and lastly, salt is most powerful when it's most pure. That's what I just shared with you. It only takes a little bit of pure salt to have its wonderful effect. There's books now written because of this man they call Batman, but he actually was made the doctor of one of India's biggest prisons. And he uses two ingredients to help cure. That's all he had because the population there is so poor. All he had to treat his patients was water and salt. And so he used those things wisely to take care of the people's diseases and maladies, their illnesses. And so it is pure salt that is good for you. You know, people say, well, you don't have too much salt if you have blood pressure and stuff like that. Well, it's not the amount of salt, it's the purity of the salt. And the purer, the more that salt is connected to its source, the closer it is to its very source, the more pure it is. And so the Bible, Jesus says to us, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, neither can ye unless ye abide in me. And so the closer we are to our source, the more pure and the more, how would you say, Christian salt we'll have. I was traveling with Connie's dad, who's now in heaven. We were going up to, the brothers were getting together, the three brothers, and thank God all three of them have gotten saved over the years, and they're in heaven together now. But as we traveled, I forget what interstate we were on, we were heading for Wyoming. And I read a sign saying that the river we were traveling next to is called the Virgin River. And as we close, I know you're tired. I'm tired too. But the Virgin River along the border in Nevada is of unusual. The salt that's there on the cliffs, inside the cliff along the Virgin River, you can actually see it, is of the most unusual purity. A bedrock of salt extends as a bluff along the river for over 25 miles. Over 60% of the salt in the cliffs is of the greatest purity to be found anywhere in the world. It just happens to be by that Virgin River, which is, virgins are known for being, you know, purity and so on like that. But a bedrock of salt, 25 miles long, and over 60% of that salt is the cliffs, is of the greatest purity of any salt on earth. We should be like the pure salt beside the river of God's grace, his virgin-born Son, the Lord Jesus, while we are in the wilderness out in the world. Who would believe that out in the middle of a waste-howling wilderness would be something so unique, the purest salt on earth for 25 miles along a river? And so we in the wilderness of this world should seek to be more like Jesus, more, show more of his grace, more of his virtues, more of his love, more of his purity in the midst of a wicked and corrupt nation. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts now. Make us to see that, Lord, we need to be a preservative, an antiseptic. We need to make people thirsty for Jesus. We need to be useful, and we are precious to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oops. Don't tell Philip.